Father, we just thank you this morning, and I thank for the joy of the Lord that's in this place. I thank you for the people who brought the joy, Father. I thank you, Father God, that your angelic hosts are going to and through these aisles, touching the people, meeting their needs. Father God, let your healing grace fall upon the people today. Heal them of every infirmity. Heal them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father. Father God, we give you the opportunity to do the miracles that needs to be done. We step aside. We let you and your Holy Spirit do the works. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. He knows exactly what we have need of. He knows exactly where we're at and where we're going and what he's doing in our lives. Amen. I just wish the body of Christ would realize that God does know what he's doing in your life. He does know where he wants to take you to. And he knows every pitfall you're going to fall into on the way. You know, you just need to be encouraged in the Lord that the Lord has been with you all the days of your life. And everything that's happened in your life happened for a purpose. Nothing was a surprise to God. You were more surprised than anybody, amen? But, you know, every test and every trial brings us a little bit closer to our Father. And this is what he wants. He wants us to have complete and total fellowship with him so that he can move through us and he can conquer the enemies of our souls. And as he conquers the enemy of our soul, then you in turn can go forth and you can allow him to conquer the enemy of other people's souls. Amen. See, it's just an ongoing works of the Father through his children. God, do you understand that God needs us? He needs us totally and completely. He needs to work through us. But he needs us to be divine vessels of honor. He needs us to live holy and pure lives. With this next move of God, we don't have the option of having any gray areas in our life whatsoever. Everything has to be pure and everything has to be holy. Amen. God told me Thursday that he wants me to teach you people about jealousy. So there has to be jealousy in the body of Christ. Amen. Or he wouldn't have told me to teach on it. So this is the Jezebel of jealousy. God told me to teach on jealousy among the brethren. So we are going to discuss the hate-causing sin of jealousy. I call it Jezebel because jealousy can cause a person to turn on their best friends and cause them all sorts of problems as Queen Jezebel did for King Ahab. Jealousy. Resenting the fact that others have something, do something, or are something that you wish you had, could do, or were. Jealousy. Resenting the fact that others have something, do something, or are something that you wish you had, could do, or were. Now, some in here are living and walking in jealousy, or God would not have me teach this. So I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. I want you to search the innermost part of your being this morning. And if God shows you you have any fragment of this jealousy, to let him have it. All right? James 3:14-16. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Let's read that scripture again. James 3:14-16. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. If jealousy is not repented of, and if you're suffering from that sin, and you don't deal with it, you don't let God deal with it in your heart, then jealousy is going to turn to hate. That hate will wind up consuming your entire life. It will control you. Are you listening here? example. I read this. This was an example I read. I know of a person. I went to school with him. He came into my office one time. I knew something was bothering him and had been for many months, maybe even years. He got red in the face and he pointed at me and he said, "You think I'm angry? I have a right to be angry. Look at you." He said, pointing at me. He goes, "You have a family, you have a wife, and you have children." He said, "You're a pastor, you completed your education." Then he said, "I'm not even married. I surely don't have any children. Look, I'm unemployed." He said with that with a hatred towards me. I'm quite sure some of us in here have had people come and talk to us like that. Amen. I can't understand why they're getting blessed and I'm not. Those kind of statements are jealousy and envy. We see that then that jealousy can control you if you don't let God deal with it. Do you harbor jealousy towards anyone at work, in your community, in the church, or even in your own family? I've discovered people that claim the name of Christ and have jealousy toward members of their family. You know, you might be here in the church with me 30 years, and all of a sudden somebody comes through the door and you're here a week, and I give them a really important job to do in the church, and you get all envious and all jealous because why didn't you allow me to do that? Why did you give that to somebody brand new that just came into the church? Are you understanding this? You're all bogged down with a lot of work and working for the church, and somebody comes in and God says, take some of that weight off of that person and give it to somebody else, and you get all upset. Because all of a sudden your duties aren't there anymore. I want you to really think about this. As I was, you know, when God told me to do this and I was studying about jealousy, I thought, God, you're really trying to clean the Lighthouse Church up. You're hitting every area that there is to hit before you drop the glory. So how do you put jealousy to death? First of all, you need to start thanking God for what you have, who you are, and what you can do. First of all, you need to start thanking God for what you have, who you are, and what you can do. Because if you don't, you are not going to be anything. You're not going to accomplish anything for God. Your mind is on other people too much. Start thanking God for other people. In fact, again, it wouldn't hurt you to go up to someone that you tend to have jealousy towards and say, "I thank God, and I mean it in your heart. You say, I thank God for your gift, for your ability, for your position, and I'm going to pray for you and encourage you in any way I can." Where jealousy and envy is really the utmost is in praise and worship teams. Maybe even in the flag team. Because you just can't stand anybody else getting any glory for anything. You just think, well, I've been here the longest. I'm the strongest. I've been doing this for a long time. So how come somebody else comes in and gets some of that glory? We see that. I see that over and over again in the praise and worship teams. I'm not telling you to be a hypocrite. But after much prayer and after God has dealt with you, then you can do that with a pure and clear conscience. So don't let jealousy control you. It will rob you. Now, what I'm telling you to do is, if you have jealousy toward your person, go to them, and mean it from your heart, is what I said, and go to them and say, "I thank you for your gift." All right? Jealousy is like a cancer that eats at us and eventually ruins us. That happens in a lot of marriages, doesn't it? List five people which you tend to be jealous of and make them part of your prayer life. It is hard to hate or be jealous when you are praying for them. I'm going to stop there because I wanted to tell you something we first started and I forgot. When God ministers to people and they're laying on the floor and I say, "Do not touch them," I mean do not touch them. If they need to be touched, I will tell somebody, go and minister to them. The little girl that God touched so strong the other night, it started in her seat. And then when she came up here, God was really ministering to her. And everybody wanted to do something to her. See, you don't walk in the Spirit. I don't care what you say. You don't walk in the Spirit. If you can't recognize the Spirit working on somebody, then you aren't walking in the Spirit. Are you understanding this? When somebody's laying on the floor weeping, they don't need your hugs. They don't need you to go up and cast out a devil. They want, you know, leave them alone. Just leave them alone. So I'm not going to tell you again. Next time I'm going to come up and smack you. Don't come and ask me if you can go minister to somebody that's on the floor. If they need minister to, I will say, do something with them. All right? I don't know about you, but if I was laying on the floor and God was ministering to me, I sure wouldn't want somebody coming up touching me and breaking that anointing. You know, saying, come out. What do you want to come out? The Holy Spirit's working within and working upon. Amen? Now we'll get back to jealousy. Anyhow, what I want to say about that too, that was an eye-opener for me to see how many of you are not walking in the Spirit. That you did not realize that little girl was being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And not some devil or not some dramatic thing that happened in her life. All right? All right, so I said, list five people which you tend to be jealous of and make them part of your prayer life. It is hard to hate or be jealous when you are praying for them. Do you realize that if any of the people you are praying for has a strong ministry, you will become a part of that ministry and not an enemy of it when you're praying for them? Think about it. Recognizing jealousy. If we are to put to death this vile sin, then we must know some signs of its existence in our lives. Knowing we possess a certain negative trait is half the battle won toward eliminating it. You hear what I said? Knowing we possess a certain negative trait is half the battle won toward eliminating it. Here are some questions and statements to deal with if you believe you have envy toward anyone. Envy and jealousy are the same thing. Let's call the folks we envy Mr. J and Mrs. E, jealousy and envy. I must be a hypocrite when Mr. J is present. On the outside, I am as sweet as can be, as pumpkin pecan pie. But on the inside, I'm like Mount St. Helens. Come on. I am acting like I really like him when I am in reality jealous of him in every area. I am to the point of being repulsed by him. Yet you stand in front of him. Hi, how are you today? So get rid of that junk. I am preoccupied with the things of Mrs. E. I know the Bible tells us to look upon the things of others in Philippians 2:4, but that does not mean we dwell on their goods to covet them. When we find ourselves consistently thinking about the things of others, it's a sure sign of jealousy. I know somebody that they just constantly, I don't know why God does this, and I don't know why God, you know, for another person, I don't know why he doesn't do it to me. That's envy and jealousy. How many times have I told you you're unique? You're your own individual self. Be content at what God is having you do, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. If you're worried about what everybody else is doing, you're never going to do what God wants you to do. And your gifting is never going to come to the forefront. Don't say, well, I used to do that. How come I can't do that anymore? Well, don't you know that maybe, just maybe, God is trying to take you to a different place, a different level? And maybe you have other giftings in there that the body of Christ needs? Quit being jealous. I question why God has given Mr. J so much and I have so little. When you begin to make inquiry why one person has so much more than you, it is another sure sign that you are jealous of them. This also applies to covetousness in the mind. One need not reveal how jealous they are verbally, because in God's eyes, sins of the mind are equal as sins of deed. You know, God knows what you're doing. You can detect envy in a statement like, if I had his money, I would surely give much more to the church. You see how we cloak sin in piety. You wouldn't give the church any more money. Come on, quit fooling yourself. You borrow to buy something you can't afford. Now, I'm not speaking of a necessity such as a car or home, but I'm speaking of the items of luxury you see in Mrs. E's home, and you try to outdo her by buying a better set than hers. She may have a 50-watt stereo system and you have only a 25-watt system, which works well enough, but because you saw hers, you must top it to keep up with her. I know a lot of people like that. I have to have the biggest and the best. You know? When the littlest would do you just as good. We previously referred to it as keeping up with the Joneses. There is only jealousy at the heart of that philosophy when you want to be more than somebody else. Let me backtrack a minute. If you look for a car, and a Chevy will do, but you purchase a BMW, you're elevating yourself through hidden jealousy. One time I bought a new car, and I came to church in it, and somebody saw it. Wow, I have an old car. I'm going to go out and get me a brand new car. So they went and got a brand new car because I had a brand new car. And isn't that dumb? They could afford it, but just still dumb. Because their car was doing just great until they saw that I had a new one. All right, the same is true of a house. If you can do with a 3-bedroom but buy a 5-bedroom, you do so through hidden jealousy. Weigh your motives on purchases. You become cynical about Mr. J. If you envy Mr. J, you may find yourself becoming very cynical about him in your normal conversation. It is impossible to hold in feelings going awry, or better yet, sinful. They always have a way of escaping. In other words, they're always going to show up and let everybody see what's going on in your life. You also have a change of demeanor whenever Mr. J's name is mentioned or when he is in your presence. This is hitting a lot home to a lot of people in here this morning. You prejudge the motives of Mrs. E. When Mrs. E does something nice, we tend to judge her motives through our envious eyes. Whenever we view another person through our envy, we are secretly or openly assassinating their character. Even if Mrs. E does do things for the wrong reason, she is accountable to the Lord and not us. All right. We blame God for blessing Mr. J. When we envy Mr. J, we will keep asking the question over and over again, why does God keep blessing him the way he does? We need to understand that is God's business. If you believe God has made a mistake, then tell him that. Tell him that you should be receiving those blessings, but do not be surprised if God blesses Mr. J more in response to your request. You see, God does not answer sinful requests. We find ourselves gossiping about Mrs. E. The more we find ourselves dwelling on the things of others, the more we tend to gossip about them. Isn't that true? Since gossip is normally rooted in created scenario, our minds will invent situations and scenarios which we will believe about Mrs. E, and we will actually believe them and pass them on. By the time the gossip is all over the church, Mrs. E's reputation is ruined. Excuse me, and so is the reputation of the one who started the rumor. Whenever you have a desire to say something about someone, check your motive, and then check your tongue, and then check in with heaven for forgiveness, for allowing Satan to motivate you this far in your vendetta against someone who may have never hurt you in your life. So that's what happened to me, you know, when I first started the ministry, that the ministers around here couldn't believe that God would use little old me, who had a bad marriage. And so they went around talking about me and trying to destroy the ministry. What was that? That was envy and jealousy. They were jealous because God wasn't moving in their services like he was moving in our services, so they had to do the next thing, ruin the ministry. Are you understanding that? And this happens in our everyday lives with other people. You can't get too many other ways. Then you start gossiping about them. Then you ruin their reputations. We may have a hidden desire to see adversity come into the life of Mr. J. Have you ever said or heard said, I wonder how they would act if they were going through what I'm experiencing? This statement tends to have a little jealousy behind it, as we believe Mr. J has been living a good life without any problems. We never know what others experience out of our sight. Now, I don't know what goes on in your life. You don't know what goes on in my life. So why do we judge and do the things that we do to one another? I believe these guidelines are sufficient to open our eyes to this sin. If you had any of these situations in your life, then maybe God is raising your attention so you may purge that sin and begin to reclaim your mind for Christ. We cannot be a good light if we have envy and jealousy in us. You find a lot of people say, well, the pastor always speaks to that person, but they never speak to me. The pastor has time for that person, but they don't have time for me. Come on. Get your diaper off. Right? And grow up. That's what my grandkids do. You kiss him, you got to kiss me, you know. Everyone needs to deal with envy so you can be free in your Christian walk. Envy is a great hindrance to Christian growth. Do you realize that you will progress no further in your spiritual life than the sin that is besetting you? You may gain knowledge, but knowledge is not spiritual growth. Once the besetting sin is removed, you will grow again. Dealing with jealousy. Once we discover a root of jealousy in our life, we may proceed to deal with it so we may reclaim our spiritual walk without any of the weight that besets us. As Hebrews 12:1 states, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, that happened with Catherine Kuhlman. You know, God greatly anointing her for the healing ministry. Then all of a sudden other ministers came on the scene with the same anointing that she had, and she was jealous and she was mad at God. She said, how come you gave them the same anointing that you gave me? She wrote this in a book. She dictated her book to the book to some gentleman before she died. And so she had a heart attack, didn't she? And she died. And she said, the reason why God's taking me out is because of my jealousy of other ministers. You know, so what if you can flag a flag just as great as can be, and then somebody else can outdo you or does the same way? What difference does it make? We're all doing the work for the Father, right? So what if you're a great, you can speak really well, but the pastor never uses you, uses somebody that stutters, can't pronounce her words right. You know, what matters? It's God using a person. Amen. I lost my place. I found it. I have found out one thing. People can speak really well or not anointed. They don't walk in the spirit. It's their ego, their flesh that's doing all that stuff. I want you to get that down in your spirit too. Just because you're a great speaker doesn't make you greatly anointed of God. All right? All right, number one, admit it to the Lord. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See that? If we know we have even the slightest taint of jealousy in our life and we try to hide it from God, we will go deeper into the sin and eventually it will destroy us. How many of you know that there's people in your own family that are jealous of you? In your own family, in your own household, they're jealous of you. I have a few people jealous of me because how come God does this for you and how come God does that for you? What makes you so special? I'm not so special. I'm just following the Father. But that jealousy and that envy brings a lot of witchcraft too with it too. All right? Think about it. God knows anyway, so why try to hide it? Your sin I'm talking about. Proverbs 29:1 states, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If God keeps reproving you and he keeps telling you you need to repent of your sin and you don't do it, you're hardening your heart, and it says here, neck, and you're going to be eternally lost. It is a stern warning that if we are reproved several times for our sins and continue to remain steadfast in them, it could mean our physical destruction. It is better to confess and free ourselves up, because if you are jealous of someone, they literally become your master since you are constantly focused on them. All right. You know, this in marriages, women, when men run around or women run around, will say, "I don't understand why they have to run around me. I'm the best wife there is," or whatever. And then what you do is you constantly concentrate on the fact that this man that you married is focused on other women. And what it does eventually, it destroys you. You're jealous and you're envious and you've done all the right things, but here they are running around on you. It's their life that's being destroyed, not yours. Quit focusing on what they're doing. Forget about it. Go about, you live. Let them go ahead and die. You live. You live. And you keep following God, because as long as you're focused on what they're doing, it's destroying you. All right? Number two, if you have verbally offended the one you envy, admit it to them. If not, deal with it privately or with another friend who will not justify your sin. You find that in Matthew 18:15. If your jealousy is in your mind, then deal with it without making the person aware of your jealousy. At a future time, you may wish to tell that person, but wait until it is all out of your system. If you tell them, they may be shocked that someone is jealous of them, and a new friendship may start. You know, they might think, wow, you know, they thought I was so great that they were jealous of me. And you just sit and explain to them, you know, I'm not all that and then some. And you become friends and you've really pulled a soul out of hell by forgiving them for being jealous of you. Right? Number three, learn the principles of commitment. Paul lays these principles out for us in Philippians 4:11-13, and they should be dissected and digested. Here are three that should suffice in getting you on the road back. Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Lesson number two. Lesson number three is verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, do you believe that scripture, don't you? That's a good scripture. And if we would just apply it to our life, we wouldn't be in the messes that we're in. A, be satisfied with what you have. You do not need any more than God has supplied for you at this moment in time. How many people you see buy great big homes, and they can't afford them big homes no more than they can afford a toad? You know, and then next thing you know, they're losing the home, they're losing everything, and they're blaming God. But it was them who went out there and bought this thing and did this thing all on their own. You know, there's a whole lot of things we need to pray about before we do them. A whole lot. And I know it's everything, but sometimes we do a little thing here and there without praying. But, you know, we need to start praying about what we're doing so we don't find ourselves in a mess. Where we get into trouble, we think we need something when in essence we want something. I think I need a lot of things, but really all it is want. To think we need more than God supplies is to tell God that he is unable to supply our needs. To further strengthen that indictment, Satan gives us credit cards to fulfill our desires while withholding the fact that credit cards can ruin us financially. The proper use of credit cards are not sin, but a bit of use of them are, and that's what happens. A lot of people abuse them. B, God allows you to be strong in one area but lacking in another. God will allow us to want in some areas for the purpose of keeping us faithful to him. If he gave us everything we wanted, how many of us would live to be 70? You know, I tell you that all the time. You know, God's not going to give you everything that you want. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear what we just said. God wants us to fellowship with him and come to him with both praise and needs. The Lord Jesus Christ stressed prayer as a vital part of the disciples' prayer. If all things were supplied, how much would you pray and how faithful to God would you be with many things? Amen. What about Moses in the wilderness? All things they needed were supplied, but at the time of need, it was their greed and desires that got them into trouble. You can read Psalm 106, 13 through 18 near you go home, and that tells you about that. You know, when you really read about them people, they were messed up, weren't they? I mean, God blessed them. God was doing everything for them, but yet they were never satisfied. Doesn't that sound like you? I mean, really. God was just blessing them abundantly. And they fought against Moses. They did all kind of dumb stuff. But that's the way we are too. God is blessing us going in and coming out, and we're still doing dumb things. And we're still complaining to God because we don't have. What we don't have is common sense. To understand that God is truly blessing us, and we're fussing. See, contentment is learning to trust God in your present situation. Contentment is learning to trust God completely. That's where a lot of us run into our problems. We don't trust God completely. It is easy to thank God when He has abundantly blessed us, but to thank God for areas of need is another story. Right? When Joseph was placed in prison, he learned to trust God through his ordeal, and the outcome was promotion to governor of Egypt. You know, if you really truly think, stop and think about Joseph, that is a great lesson that God has placed in his Bible for us to grow with. We need to quit fussing about things God is having us go through, because at the end of that thing, there is what God always tells me, daughter, at the end of this tunnel, there's a light. In other words, at the end of that tunnel, there's a blessing waiting for you. If you just go and keep your head about yourself, if you go ahead and let God go, God told me one time, daughter, I'm going through this valley with you. You're not walking through this thing alone. So if He has you going through what you call a valley, know that He's going there with you. He's holding your hand. And everything you go through is for a purpose in a plan for your life and for God. You know, your testimony is so wonderful. Right now you can't see that, but by and by you will see that what you went through is the biggest testimony anybody could ever have, and it's going to save a multitude of souls. Are you agreeing with this morning? That God is more than able to see us through everything, and we don't have to be jealous of nobody. We really don't. You know, to be a prophet of God, you have to not be jealous, because, you know, you're prophesying to people and God's telling them how great and wonderful they're going to be, and you're standing there thinking, God, you're not doing that for me right now. You know? But you have to go ahead and tell these people all the great and wonderful things God's going to do for them and how He's going to financially bless them and go on and on and on. And if you're not walking right with God, you can't be a true prophet of God. If you're going to be full of jealousy and envy, you can't prophesy for the Father. Because you're going to be thinking, God, you're going to bless me first and not these other people. After all, look how hard I've labored. Look how long I've been laboring. And now you're going to do this and this and this. Come on. So God wants you to get, you know, and this could be one of the reasons why God wants you to get out of this envy and jealousy and envy, is because He needs to use you in this end time hour. And He's not going to be able to if you have junk in you. All right. And when Joseph was placed in prison, he learned to trust God through his ordeal, and the outcome was promotion to governor of Egypt. God was preparing him for a certain task. When we are in a need situation, God is always also preparing us for something. And to realize that God is engineering our circumstances for a certain outcome will bring great contentment to us if we continue to bask in His loving care. If we would just get the thing deep in our spirit that God is getting us ready for something great. If we just get in our spirit, God knows what He's doing. I know that we listened to Joel Osteen this morning, and he was just telling people, you know, the things you're going through, there's a blessing in the end of it. And I forgot the other guy's name. He was telling the same thing. So God has everybody in the same track. Be content where you're at. Quit being jealous and envious of what other people are doing. Because God is doing something special in your life. You know, you think, well, he's doing something greater in somebody else's life. How do you know that? You don't know that. You just keep your nose in your own face and let other people keep their nose in their faces. In other words, mind our own businesses and quit trying to figure out what God's doing with somebody else. Because why do you care? Why do you care? You know, you're working out your salvation. You're working out your walk with God. So let other people alone. And go ahead and let God do what he needs to do in your life to take you from A to Z. It's so very imperative that we get this morning, because I've watched this over the years, how people are, especially ministers, they're so jealous of other ministers. It's a shame. Always, always question, how come God does this for you and how come God doesn't do this for me? Well, how come yourself to the Lord and pray and ask him? Amen. They're all, you know, pastors, and this is the truth, pastors are always wondering what God's doing inside the church down on the corner. Somebody came to me years ago and asked me, what's going on down in that church? I said, I don't know. And God said, you don't need to know. You're the pastor of the Lighthouse Church. You keep your nose there and don't worry about what I'm doing down in the corner. And so this is what I'm telling each one of you. It's none of your business what God is doing with anybody else. It's your business what God is doing with you. Amen. And you know, somebody will say to me, well, what do you think is going on in their life? I said, I don't know. I'll pray if it's important. And if God doesn't tell me, that's none of my business. And God's even told me, that's none of your business. You know, so I'm really not concerned about what's going on in your life unless God reveals it to me. Then I know he wants to use me to do something about it. But until then, it's none of my business. I might even know what you're doing, but I don't come to you and say anything to you because it's none of my business. God has not told me to stick my nose into it. He's told me what's going on, never tells me to do anything about it, so I don't do anything about it. Prayer is the best thing you can do about anything. Prayer. Sometimes you think God's telling you something that's not God at all. It's your own little messed up mind that hasn't gotten renewed yet. And then you know, you come to me, you know, you need to take care of this. No, I don't. No, I don't. You know, if God wants it taken care of, because he hasn't told me what you just told me to begin with. And if he wanted me to take care of it, he would tell me, you know, what you just said. And then he would tell me what to do about it. What kind of pastor are you? Well, I'm one that listens to the voice of the Father. You know, if you're really in tune to the Spirit of God, you can look at somebody and see what's going on in their life. But that's not none of your business. You know, they can be acting just as religious as they want to be, but they're in sin. But that's none of your business. It's God's. It's God. See, if we would quit trying to do God's job in somebody else's life and let him do the job he wants to do in your life, then you would go further in Christ. Amen. Look at the people in the scriptures who trusted God in their present circumstances. Peter in prison in Acts 12. Paul in prison in Acts 16. Paul was always in prison. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. And Abraham in Genesis 22. Now, see, I used to have the habit of saying, well, God, look what you did for Abraham. Look what you did with Job. Job, when he went through his experience 9 months. I've been going through this 3 years. Why? And God said, I'll take you through it as long as I want to take you through it. So don't even try to compare yourself with the people in the Bible. You're you. And it's your time and your situation. I read something last night where somebody said there's as much evil in the word right now as there was in the Bible in the early days. That we have just as many enemies and they're just as strong. And you know, that statement was true. It really was. If we would look around us, we will count many more blessings than we realize we have. The principles to help you escape the trap of jealousy are not earth-shaking, but are grassroots biblical principles. It's just simple as a nose in the end of your face. See, that's the problem. We try to make the Word of God too complicated, and it's very, very simple. To help ourselves out of the pit of sin just takes an earnest study of the Scriptures and a true desire to be free from sin, which will cement your Christian walk. Jealousy is a sin which must be rebuffed And that jealousy is going to turn to hate. And if you don't get rid of it, you're no good for the kingdom of God. That's simple. Well, look at me, Lord. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm working for you 24/7. And I'm still living in the upstairs of the church that leaks. And I have a relative who doesn't really follow you, doesn't go to a Spirit-filled church, and they're being blessed abundantly. How come, Lord? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. So you don't know what God's going to use them for, and you don't know what God's going to use you for. And I'm here to tell you, the harder your trial, the longer your trial, the deeper your anointing's going to be. So if I was you, I wouldn't be worrying about what John Doe over there is doing, because what God's taking you through is far worse than what he's going through, and that's why you're jealous and envious of them. Your anointing is going to be so much greater. The works that God's going to have you do for him is so much greater than what John Doe is going to do. John Doe's still going to be sitting over there really passive, you know, and doing his thing, and you're going to be out there riding up in the glory clouds, taking chariot rides, you know, walking into supernatural. You're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles occurring all over the place. And little John Doe is just sitting over there wondering what's going on in your life now. Come on. So, you know if you have jealousy and envy in your heart. You and God. You can put on a mask for the rest of us. And what God is asking you to do is let him strip away every bit of jealousy and every bit of envy out of you right now. Amen. He doesn't want you to leave here today with any of that in you. It's a fragment. He wants all fragments of jealousy and envy out of you. Is that right? Is that a good statement? Okay. He wants it all out of you this morning. And you know, there's a lot of people who have gone through trials and tribulations in your marriage, and I'll just talk about women because I'm a woman and I know what women feel. And you know, whenever you were married and your husband was running around, you tried everything you could possibly do, you know, to make yourself a better wife, and nothing ever worked. And you spent years and years and years trying to be a better wife, and you couldn't be any better than what you are or what you were. And you were jealous because these other women had your husband. He was never your husband. Or he wouldn't have been running around with other women. Are you listening to this? So you spent all those years being jealous and envious of a woman that you should never have been jealous and envious of. Because she didn't have anything. She had a shell that had to keep spreading herself around. I want you to free yourself up of that too this morning. Just tell God you're so sorry that you were so stupid in those days, and that you want him to take everything, anything negative that is still there about that out of you, so that you can move on and have it. Because as long as that is there, you'll never be able to move on and have a happy life. You were a good wife. You were a good mother. You were doing the things that you were supposed to be doing, and you can't help that the husband you was married to wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing. There's somebody in here, maybe more than one, that you really suffer from that, and God wants to rid you of that right now, just to set you free of all those negative things. The altar's open this morning. I just would like for you to come up to the altar and just ask God to purge you of anything that's not of him. See, God is getting you ready so he can put the glory in you. And the glory is a really strong anointing that's not going to wane. The anointing is going to be where God can use you to work signs, wonders, and miracles through. And he can't use a vessel that's all contaminated with junk. Just come on up here, girls, and just line up. Come on, Rachel, you know the system. Get her up there and line her up. Thank you. You know, when I didn't minister and every time they had an altar call, I went up there because I wanted whatever God was doing. I just wanted that anointing, you know. I wasn't guilty of what they were saying anything about, but I just wanted more anointing. And so I'm just encouraging you, when the anointing's flowing like this, you need to just come up and just get more anointing. Get a stronger anointing. Get a bigger touch from God. And see, the more anointing you have in you, the less ground the enemy will have to play in. You get anointed strong enough, the enemy won't be able to come in.